Two views of sanctification. The two views of sanctification held today both aim at the same result, namely, deliverance from sin and victory in this life. But the processes for reaching those ends differ widely. The cause of this difference is due to a mistaken or an incomplete view of the work of Christ on Calvary, as taught especially by the Apostle Paul. The importance of a full, clear understanding of what Christ accomplished on the cross can scarcely be overestimated. What we are in Christ, what we have in Him, what He is and has in us, our acceptance of the Father in Christ, and the nature and greatness of our hope for the coming ages are all secured for us and vouchsafed unto us through the cross. We can only come intelligently into the enjoyment of these wonders of grace by understanding Calvary. Therefore, let us contrast these two views of sanctification. Man's view versus scriptural view. Man's view says sanctification is taught to be by cleansing. Scriptural view, sanctification is by crucifixion. Man's view is that sanctification is by the supposed present operation of the blood. Scriptural view, sanctification is by faith in the Holy Spirit on the ground of the blood of Jesus once shed. Romans 8:2. Man's view seeks for and expects a blessing. Scriptural view believes a fact, namely, our death with Christ once, Romans 8, verses 2, 3, and 6, and Galatians 2, 20, and amends that fact by counting with God or as God counts, Romans 6, 11. Man's view is partly by works, that is, being once freed from sin, the soul must itself, by God's help, live a holy life. The aim now is human perfection, or a restoration to the innocent Adamic state. The scriptural view is that it is wholly by grace. There is no chance for self-righteousness or self-improvement. Jesus lives His life in us, Galatians 2:20 and 2 Corinthians 6:16. Man's view strives at an imitation of Christ. Scriptural view is a reproduction and indwelling of the Christ, a new heavenly treasure in the old earthen vessel, 2 Corinthians 4:7. Man's view aims to repair the old creation. Scriptural view counts the old creation dead, Romans 6:11, since it died with Christ. Our old man was crucified with Him, Romans 6:6, and recognizes only a new creation, a new man. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Man's view sees only that Christ died for us in our stead. Scriptural view sees also our identification with Christ, that is, that we died with Christ and were buried with Him, and that we also arose with Him and were seated with Him in the heavenlies, Galatians 2:20 and Ephesians 2:6. We actually recognize our old selves to be dead, useless, and put out of the way. We no longer expect any good from ourselves, and we are not disappointed or surprised at our own failures or badness. It is most important that we understand this point thoroughly. As a substitute, Christ died for the ungodly, for the sinner. But much more, mark this well, Christ died also as our representative, as our head. Just as the first Adam was the head of the old creation, so Christ, the second Adam, is the head of the new creation. As all Adam's descendants died to God and righteousness in Adam, and hence are dead in trespasses and sins, just so all the followers of Christ, all who are in Him, all the new creation, died to sin in Him when He died, and are alive unto God in Him forever. Hence, faith in the fact of Christ's death for me, a sinner, brought me deliverance from the conscience of sin or guilt. So I have peace. But faith in the fact of my death and resurrection with Christ brings me freedom from sin itself and fruit unto holiness. Romans 6:22. Man's view does good works, asking God to help, and uses the Spirit. Scriptural view trusts the Holy Spirit to work through us, John 5:19 and 2 Peter 1:21, and is used by the Spirit. Man's view feels undue responsibility and lives under much of a strain and takes more or less glory to itself because of its own efforts. Scriptural view recognizes the government on God's shoulders, rests the responsibility with Him, and gives all the glory to Him because of Him, and to Him, and through Him are all things. The battle is the Lord's, and we go only at His bidding. Oh, the depth and glory of such a place in Christ! There is a constant sense of dependence upon the Holy Spirit for everything. We speak, but He moves us to speak. We love souls, but He puts the love into us. We believe God, but He furnishes the faith. Romans 10:17. We intercede for others, but He indicts the prayer. We do right, but His indwelling enables us to do it. God will not leave us room for a whit of self-glory, and yet our activity is unceasing and untiring, and our delight inexpressible and unbounded. Scripturally stated, what is the scriptural ground for freedom from sin? The answer is found in Romans chapters 6, 7, and 8. Having had much tossing about on account of not seeing this, we do wish to help others to know their privileges in Christ Jesus and how to obtain them. Substitution. As a propitiation or mercy seat, Christ died for or because of our sins, 1 Corinthians 15:3, died for in behalf of the ungodly, died for us, Romans 5, 6, and 8. Jesus Christ took the place of the ungodly, died the death that He should have died, that is, of a guilty sinner, a condemned criminal. He bore the shame that was on the sinner. By tasting death for every man, He appeased the wrath of God and made it possible for God to be just and still justify the ungodly who would believe. This is substitution. With this truth, we are well acquainted, but there is another truth closely associated with this and equally as distinct and important: identification with Christ. Identification. As a person, as our representative, as the living head of the new creation, Christ died unto the sin, Romans 6:10, and we died with Christ to the sin, Romans 6:8, and as Adam, the first Adam, was the head of the race in its fallen condition, so Christ, the second Adam, 1 Corinthians 15:45, is the head of the new creation. As in the first Adam all men died to God and righteousness and became dead in trespasses and sins because they inherited His sinful nature, so in Christ, the second Adam, all who believe on Him died to the sin in His death and were made alive forevermore through His resurrection. This is identification. Identification is the basis of faith for deliverance from the dominion of indwelling sin. Therefore, let us study it more in detail and learn what God says about it. We must use the Revised Version of the New Testament, as all these verbs concerning our identification with Christ are in the past or past perfect tense in the Greek. They speak of what has already taken place. They all tell us of the finished work of Christ. It is of the utmost importance that we see this fact, so there remains nothing for us to do but to believe what God says, and by faith possess our possession. Observe also that in almost every verse in Romans 6 and 7, the definite article the is expressed in the Greek when speaking of sin. Hence, we also express it in this treatise. Christ died unto the sin once, Romans 6:10. Then He must be forever dead to it. Mark this foundation fact. He also died to the law, Romans 7:4. Hence, it can have no more power over Him. Living in another sphere, He is outside and above the jurisdiction of the law entirely. Mark this well also. We died with Christ, Romans 6:8. That is, we died to the sin, as truly as He did. Compare also Colossians 2:20 and 2 Timothy 2:11. It will pay the reader to study all these references. Note this carefully, then. If Christ died unto the sin, and we died in Him and with Him to the sin, then we, too, must be forever dead to sin. Our relation to the sin is the same as that of Jesus Christ. Reader, do you see it? Furthermore, if Christ died to the law and we died with Him, then we too must be forever dead to the law as well as He. This is just what the Word declares. We were made dead to the law through the body of Christ. we were discharged or cleared from the law wherein we were held captive, having died in Christ when he expired. Romans 7, verses 4 and 6. Therefore, we are liberated from the reign of law as well as the reign of sin. God be praised. Our relation to the law is the same as that of Christ. We are not opposed to the law. We are not without law to Christ, the law of love, 1 Corinthians 9:21, Romans 13:10. It is our limitless privilege, then, to serve in the new life of the Spirit, newness of spirit, and not under the old written code, oldness of the letter, Romans 7, verse 4. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage, Galatians 5, verse 1. In Christ's death we were crucified unto the world, and the world unto us, Galatians 6, 14. A double crucifixion, a complete separation. We are forever done with the world, and the world is forever done with us. This is why there is no longer fellowship between us and the world. The world is dead while it lives, but we are alive forevermore in the new creation, because we died and arose again with Christ, because as he is, so are we in this world, 1 John 4:17. Our old self, old man, was crucified with him, Romans 6:6. See the section above on the old man, and note that inbred sin is not this old man. This is only another way of expressing what was said under paragraph 2. For we, in Romans 6:8, and I, in Galatians 2:20, are the same as our old self, old man, here. Bear in mind that this is a fact already. He was crucified. I have been crucified, says Paul. Therefore the old man, the former ego, the old Adamic I, is dead. We are simply to believe it. We must not try to put to death the fellow that was executed 1900 years ago. We have simply to believe what God says and treat the old man as dead. Hence the apostle says, "So you also must consider, or reckon yourselves dead, to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus," Romans 6:11. This reckoning becomes actually real in us by the power of the Holy Spirit as we continue to believe God. Glory to his name. We were buried, therefore, with him, Romans 6:4. Then we should treat the old man as forever in the grave, for the essential old Adam, with all his belongings of sin and sickness, died and was buried with Christ. But also we have been raised up together with Christ, Colossians 3:1 and Ephesians 2:6. Hence, we are as truly alive as is he. The new man, the essential man, is alive unto God forevermore. Because as he, Christ, is, so are we in this world, 1 John 4:17. He that eats me will live because of me, or by me. Because I live, ye shall live also, John 6:57, John 14:19. Oh, how glorious is this! Jesus took all the journey for us, and we also took it with him. By the triumphant act of simple faith in these facts, we exclaim, "Where he is, we are, and as he is, we are." We are also justified from the sin. The same forensic word is used here as in Romans 3:24 and 5 verse 1. The divine judicial act toward the sin here is the same as toward transgressions there. For he who has died is freed from the sin, Romans 6:7. When Christ died to the sin, he died once, Romans 6:10 in the Greek. In that death he was justified from the sin as our head, for he had no sin in himself to die to, nor to be justified from. He was always and only holy. Him who knew no sin, God made or counted sin in our stead, 2 Corinthians 5:21. That is, God counted his innocent holy son to be the very vile, wretched object that we really are by nature, and he was crucified under that reckoning. Thus we died to sin and were justified from it in him. His death was our death. His justification was our justification. Therefore, sin has no more claim on him, and because of our union with him, it has no more claim upon us. Henceforth, sin is a usurper, an intruder, an outlaw, a condemned criminal. Assert your rights in Christ and take your liberty in him. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. Romans 6, verse 14. One thing I know, Christ died for me and arose again, my Lord to be. I died with him and rose to see. This I know. One thing I know, the Spirit came as at the first, yes, just the same, and filled my heart with love's bright flame. This I know. One thing I know, in Romans 8 I find the victor's happy state, so Romans 7 through 6 vacate. This I know. One thing I know, for Christ I wait, he's coming soon and not too late. Behold the open gate. This I know. One thing I know, it don't appear what I shall be in yonder sphere, unless to Christ supremely dear. This I know.